and welcome to the Negative Positives Podcast, episode 421, coming to you live, spanning the globe, via satellite, from Louisville, Kentucky, in the Gutter Man Cave. I am your host, Mike Gutterman, and this is a Monday episode. That's kind of, it's been a bit. The Three Stooges are on tonight, and so that means we got some co-captains along for the ride of the USS Negative Positives in the deep seas. Where, hey, did you guys know there's been like whales attacking boats out in the deep seas? Have you heard about this?
What are you talking about, man?
Yeah, apparently there's been whales attacking boats out in the ocean. It's a big news story. I think, personally, I think this is all being orchestrated. All right. And let's get out to Los Angeles, California, the city of angels, La La Land. Mr. Andre Dominguez, how are you doing tonight, Andre?
Well, I'm doing all right, Mike. You know, the city's going through some interesting times right now with pretty much everybody on strike. But, you know, whenever I like meet new people and I say like, oh, I work in film, I have to sort of specify, well, not that film. I went to a little kind of friend's birthday party thing and somebody asked me if I was on strike. I was like, oh, I hope not. we're still doing okay, thanks.
Not quite the same film industry.
No, other than that, it's a little warmer than I'd like it to be, but hopefully this summer can end soon and we start what is actually a nice, you know, Los Angeles autumn.
Speaking of summer, you know, I am, of course, in my shorts and my flippy floppers. But it reminded me earlier this week, Jess Jones, co-captain, Jess Jones had a birthday, and I sent her a birthday wish on the Facebook space. And I told her I hope that she got a brand new pair of flip flops for her birthday. So hopefully. Hopefully her dreams came true on that. But all right, let's get on out to the peach state, Georgia. Mr. Kooks, Mike Kukavica, the Drunk Dark Room. How you doing tonight, Kooks?
Hey, Mike, I'm happy to be talking to you all again. This is great. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm happy. And other than that, you know, we're just trying to weather the butt crack of the summer down here in the South, man. It's I guess it hasn't been that bad. I mean, it's hot and humid, but it's been raining a lot. So I guess
it's here too. Complain. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which helps. I mean, it makes it more humid. So, I mean, if you have to go get the mail, you come back a sweaty mess. But, you know, but it's OK. It's all right.
I'm actually surprised. Like usually this time of year, my grass is starting to get kind of brownish. It's usually baked at this point. We've had so much rain this summer that my grass is still like growing like crazy. And I think my son's tired of cutting the grass, but this is one of those things where I'm glad to have some sun still living in the nest here. So, it's been hot here, but you know me, I'll never complain about the hot weather. Cause you'll hear me start to gripe here in about 3 or 4 months. So, I'm down with this hot weather, but, it's good for my bones. The old bones don't like that cold weather anymore. You know, kind of goes straight to them, but, Andre wouldn't know about. Well, Andre, it might affect his old soul, but he doesn't have the old bones yet. So,
yeah. I like the cold weather.
Andre, your audio is really not good tonight, but hopefully everybody can.
This is the best it's gonna be.
Because you sound very muffled. Are you speaking through your pillow, or it kind of sounds like?
You're literally like inches away from the laptop.
Huh. Is your mic close to your mouth?
Yeah.
Okay. I really don't like the saying with two mics on this podcast. It's probably not a very good thing to say.
I'm in Georgia. He's in California.
All right. Well, since it's time for us to catch up on what we've been up to, Mr. Andre Dominguez, we always start with you. If anybody can understand what you're saying, please tell us what you've been up to, man.
Sure.
That sounds better. That sounds better.
Okay. I literally did nothing different. what have I been up to? A week or so ago, we We went to a gallery exhibition opening at the Leica store / gallery. If anybody is familiar with the new HBO show that came out a while ago called The Idol, starring The Weeknd and Lily Rose Depp, I believe. I didn't really watch the show.
I heard it's awful.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I heard, you know, that it was quite controversial, and I couldn't really make it past 20 minutes. It just wasn't my type of show. But all of the behind-the-scenes photography throughout the entire show was shot on CineStill by a photographer named Eddie Chen, who's done a lot of BTS stuff on CineStill before. I think the previous project he worked on was Euphoria Season 2. And we, you know, kind of got together with him, HBO, and the Leica store, and put together a little gallery. So this was, I believe this is the largest that I've ever seen CineStill film scans printed. They were all, you know, digital camera scanned by Brian, one of our founders. And I don't know, like, whereas I didn't care much for the show, it was pretty neat to see, you know, camera scans of our film being on par, if not, you know, outperforming drum scans. Huge on the wall, 40 by 60 inches or something like that. I could have those dimensions wrong. With a little placard next to each print saying, like, CineStill 800T, 400D, BWXX, etc.
These were all 35 millimeter blown up that large?
I believe there may have been some 120, but I think the vast majority... No, it was all 35, yeah.
Wow.
It was either shot with the Leica MP or the M7, yeah.
You know, I remember when I used to read, you know, back when I first got into photography, I was at the local antique camera store here in town, Chuck Rubin's Photographics. He had boxes and boxes of Shutterbug magazines from the 70s and 80s, and they were just free for the taking. And I would go in there every week and grab like five more and read them while I was at work, you know. And finally, at one point, he's like, Mike, why don't you just take the whole damn box? You're the only one who's taking those things. So I ended up taking the whole box of Shutterbug magazines, and I read every single one of them. And one of the common themes back then, and this was such a weird thing with pro photographers and sort of like, I don't know, in a sense, maybe some gatekeeping that was going on back then, was that 35 millimeter really wasn't a serious format, because, I mean, you can really only expect to blow those up to, you know, 8x10, or even 11x14, you might stretch it a little bit. And then here you've got this gallery with these gigantic prints coming from 35 millimeter, just kind of reminded me of just that some of the things that was just almost taken as religion back then. And so when film photography was the only thing around, you know, very strange.
Yeah. Like you could definitely, you know, see the grain, but if anything, that kind of helped them stand out, because they've shown, you know, film there before in the gallery plenty of times, but I would say the majority of what they show is indeed digital, with that like super clinical sharpness of those really great sensors and, you know, legendary lenses, all that jazz. So this really stood out as like, oh yeah, 800T in low light is pretty grainy, especially when you blow it up to 40 by 60. But it wasn't grainy in a bad way. It just looked like what you would expect film to look like. And everybody seemed to really enjoy it. I think they said like there was something like 700 or 800 people that came, you know, through the doors throughout the course of the evening. I don't know. It's pretty cool. And any time that there are gallery exhibitions there, like I see people that I recognize, right? People like in the film photography community, like normies, or as close to what I would consider kind of normal people within this strange hobby. And then there's the people who are there just to be, I don't know if it's just to be seen or just like the upper echelons of like Hollywood.
You know, the movers and shakers.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of people like that there as well. I'm just like, you know, I don't know. Some of the overheard conversations made my eyes roll one or two times. But
so people weren't really impressed that you are involved in a podcast that spans the globe. You know, that
well, let's just say that that did not come up. I pretty much see the Cinephile crew and a couple friends that I saw. What else have I been up to other than that? I got a chance to develop a few sheets of 4x5 Ektachrome that I took on back on Mother's Day back in May, whenever that was, of my buddy Omid and his family. The only thing that I really ended up kicking myself, I took four sheets, and two of those I had probably not labeled my film holders well, and accidentally double exposed them with a couple images of the classic Roy's motel sign in Route 66. So a picture of my friend Omid's mom and grandma, two of them, because one I was a little bit concerned that she might have blinked, were ruined by that. But the other two came out great. So we had a 50% success rate of my donated Mother's Day 4x5 shots.
Well, that's more of a success rate than I had, because I didn't take any photos of Mother's Day, so there you go.
the whole reason of me kind of reaching out to a few friends here in the neighborhood on Mother's Day was the fact that, like, you know, I'm not there with my mom. If I was, I'd be taking pictures of her, and so was just sort of bored at home and texted a few friends saying, like, hey, if you've got, like, 20, 30 minutes at some point, like, anytime during this weekend, let me know. I'll bring my camera over, take a few pictures, and then if they turn out, like, I'll give you the scans and stuff like that. So nice. I was super bummed that two of them failed, but the other two looked great. I mean, combination of that, that new Kodak Ektachrome and the Cinestill D9 first developer and the 1:1 warm tone dilution just looks fantastic. For, you know, actually being able to look at a big, huge 4x5 slide backlit on these, like, bright, very neutral toned LED lights that we have these days. Kooks has seen, you know, my little kind of portable one, and it just people's, like, faces literally light up because it's so damn bright. You're pumping, like, tons of light through this like little stained glass, well, not so little, pretty sizable stained glass window. I mean, there's nothing quite like that.
The ones you showed me are gorgeous, man, from that when we went to Arizona, that trip at Hackberry Junction. There was a couple pictures, the flag flying, and I think you showed me one of Roy's without any moms in it. At least if there were people in it, we didn't know if they were moms or not, but no, it's gorgeous, and it's such a huge negative. I mean, it's crazy.
And that whole process was a ton of fun, because my buddy Omid, who Gooks has met, he's a firefighter here in Burbank, and super, you know, passionate about film photography specifically. Started with digital, but, you know, pretty quickly kind of transitioned over to film. In his garage, he has, you know, a full, like, dark room kind of setup built out with, like, a huge lab sink, a couple of enlargers, just really, really great setup. And he's done some slide film in the past, but was very interested in exploring this new world of the CS6 family. And so I think he'd gathered something like 20 or 30 rolls of slide film over the past, like, year and change. And we kept telling each other, like, hey, we're gonna develop this together. And finally ended up doing that, starting off with the 4x5, and then, you know, he continued the rest, having had that experience. And I'm just so excited for him, man. I don't think he has a projector yet, but some of the 35 that he developed on his own after I left, I'm gonna, you know, bring my little slide mounter and my projector, and we'll do a little slideshow. I think that'd be a ton of fun, because his son's something like 6 or 7 years old, so a year and change going back, like quite a bit changes, as both of you know. So it'll be really cool to see the family photos be projected and seen by his wife and kid for the first time in over a year.
I will say this.
Well, I've noticed in my headphones, there's a lot of, basically fan and air conditioner noise going on in the background on this episode. And, you know, it's very hot in all of our areas. So I'm just going to tell everybody, if the fan noise is bothering you, just on your stereo there, just go and turn on the Dolby noise reduction. Dolby B or C. If you have C, that's better. But yeah, just go ahead and hit that button. You had to be a certain age to even know what I'm talking about there. But
in the summer, things get a little too toasty for us to not be able to, you know, record for over an hour without some kind of cooling mechanism for our nether regions.
Right. Yes. Me and the wife watched a movie. I guess it was Saturday. It was on the TV, and I forget what it was called. It was absolutely horrible 80s movie. I mean, just so bad you couldn't take your eyes off of it. But it was about this kid. He put this heavy metal record on his turntable and played it backwards, and it summoned this this demonic deceased heavy metal guitar player back from the dead. And he then went on a rampage in the school and started killing people with his guitar, shooting that electric stuff out of his guitar and stuff, and electric bolts and stuff. And it was
so 80s.
So 80s. And at one point he goes and he puts the record on the turntable, and it shows him like hitting buttons on a stereo, and he hits the Dolby noise reduction. I'm like, dude, you don't hit that on vinyl, man. Like, it's just for tapes. Like, I just thought it was funny that they got that wrong, man. He's sitting here turning on noise reduction for a vinyl record. That doesn't know how that works,
it is funny how that is though, Mike, because like I've been watching the X-Files again. I wanted to watch the whole thing from beginning to end, and there's one part where the one guy had a Barnack Leica, and they showed him looking through the finder, and you know it, so, and they had like the meter triangles on it. I'm like, on, you know what I mean? But I'm like, well, they're just trying to give the impression. They're just trying to communicate an idea. You know what I mean? So it's
I love it when movies, like they'll be shooting a rangefinder, but then it goes, like, you know, it makes the SLR sound, you know, the mirror slaps. Yeah, that's always good stuff. All right, Andre, you got anything else, man?
Can I say this? Can I not say this? There are some more updates on the 400D 4x5 front coming soon. We may have received some test film domestically from our, you know, finishing partners. I know that a lot of people have been waiting for that for ages and ages, and we very much so apologize when our finishing partners hit delays. We hit delays, so... but hopefully I should be, you know, able to give a more thorough update soon. But there may be some cool, very large film going in a film holder for me to test out tomorrow.
Oh, very cool. Nice. Cool. All right. Well, Kooks, what have you been up to, man?
Well, let's see. I've been at a stretch of being at home. I think I got home on June 24th from my last trip, and I haven't gone anywhere since. So the cool part about that is I've been able to print for the last four weekends straight. So that was kind of cool. And the first weekend I had pretty decent success. So the second weekend I printed some family stuff from when my niece graduated, and just some 5x7 stuff, which was fun. And then the week after, I printed some of the Roy sign, which I'm not sure it was. I like the print, but I don't know. It's got a little problems because I've used a yellow filter to really darken the sky, and like the legs of that sign are really bright, and so it's like the sky's really dark, the sign's kind of dark. I don't know. I like it, but I'm not sure that it's good. But this weekend, oh my gosh, I got into I don't want to call it a fight. Maybe it was a fight with myself, but I decided to print a negative that I've taken so many pictures of this car or a car like it out in California. and I wanted to do a big, so I'm doing it, well, big, sorry, big for me, big for my space, which is 11 by 14. Feels big, especially when you mix up the chemicals needed, you know, like a liter and a half. Feels like a lot dealing with a big tray. But man, I spent an entire weekend making test strips and didn't really get very far. That hasn't happened in a real long time. And, you know, I don't know. I felt, I added it up. So here's the thing. I made over between Saturday, Sunday, and then after work today, I made 29 localized test strips. I made 12 test like chunks. So like 4x5 pieces where I just did a whole, you know, print. I did 4 pre-flash test strips. I did 4 8x10 test chunks. And then, of course, I ruined 4 test strips and 1 8x10 sheet from being an idiot, from like leaving the filter drawer open or because I was doing a pre-flash and, you know, it was warm around here. And, you know, that enlarger uses an incandescent bulb. And the longer you have it on, it's kind of a thick negative. So I was trying to open the door to try to get a little air going through there to cool it off. But then, you know, and I was trying to even do things to remind myself that it was open. And didn't always work. So, yeah, man, I felt like I was just kind of flailing around and never really quite figured it out. And I'm not going to say I figured it out, but after work, I just started a new approach and I got one test strip that gives me a little bit of hope. I'm not giving up. This weekend will be the continuation. I got class to teach this week, so I probably won't be doing much in the evenings. So I'm kind of in a tussle with this negative, and I'm hoping I can make something good. So that's kind of been on my mind more recently. So
nice. Well, at least you got a little. At least it ended on some positivity, so you didn't feel like just giving up the entire hobby right before you jump on this podcast and announce that you're giving up film photography. So
no, I can't do that.
And Kooks, I will say that, like, as much as I know, especially from personal experience, what it's like to make a ton of test strips and just not really get too far with it, the Instagram story that you shared with all the really pretty localized test strips, like all laid out next to each other, did look pretty freaking cool.
Well, I'm glad you like that. I am. I started making them. I'm like, all right, well, don't chuck them, save them so you can evaluate them. And then, but then pretty, you know, before long, it kind of almost filled up the whole guest bed, you know, cause like the wet area is kind of the, you know, I use part of the guest bedroom for that. And so I was just laying those out there and I'm like, geez, oh Pete, I should probably share this because this is anyone that knows what they're looking at knows that this is someone swinging at a pinata and missing a lot. I mean, they look good, right? I mean, they everything looked fine when you look at it that way. But what happened? But I'll tell you, I'll give you a little insight on it. So you have a car. There was like a wall that was partly gray, maybe from the ground till about 12 feet up was gray. And then above that was white. And then this was all in the shade, but then, you know, the building to the, so if I'm standing behind the car's in front of me on the left, the building's on the left, and I've got my camera low with kind of a wide angle lens shooting the kind of the three quarter of it. Mm-hmm. And it's a red car, but there's a building on the right, which is lit by the sun, and that's reflecting partly the parking lot and then this white building. So there's kind of like light stripes going down the side of the car, depending on how it goes. And it's got hips, it's got big wheels and big back fenders. And, uh-huh. You know, it's so all I'm getting at is the part of the car I picked to focus on getting the highlights bright was not the brightest highlight. So I spent a few hours trying to work that out. And then I realized, oh, this other part's still blown. And I started with RC, and that RC is significantly older than my fiber paper, so they don't respond the same. So anyhow, but I kept futzing around with that, and then I felt like I needed to do a pre-flash. And a pre-flash, so I don't know if I've ever said this on this podcast before, but for those of us who have ever had to push a car out of the snow, if getting detail into highlights in a print that's very difficult and you can't possibly dodge or burn it, if getting detail in there is like pushing a car out of the snow, what you end up doing is using white light to expose the paper right up until just before it doesn't make any density, so you can't see any gray. So, or the pushing the car out of the snow is the part where you're leaning on it, you're pushing it, the wheel's spinning, and nothing's happening, like that moment before the car starts moving.
So
then when you do
about
hit
the time, about the time all the snow and mud is spraying up on you when you're trying to
that's it you're like from your kneecap down and your shoes all covered up and but the side effect of doing a pre-flash, if you have to do the whole paper, is that it kind of lowers overall contrast, and then so you're fighting to try to get that back. So it's on one hand, it's really kind of a compromise. It's best if you have to do it, if you can, you know, mask off an area, like if it's a window or maybe the sky or something like that. But when you have to do the whole thing, like I thought I did, it's a big fight. So, I was fighting with that. And then I got through all Saturday, didn't get very far. Sunday, I didn't get too far, but by Sunday evening, I was like, all right, I think I got the best I can with this RC and I need to go to the fiber paper. And then it was like, oh boy, this is a complete different planet. And so right toward the end, the last thing I did Sunday was one fiber without the pre-flash. And I was like, you know, maybe. And so I did 6 or 7 after work today, and I think I'm on the right track, I think. So if I just bored everyone talking about this stuff, I'm sorry, but this print is trying to kick my ass, and it might have its way with me, but I'll go down fighting. I'm gonna keep working at it.
What it does is anybody who's ever received a darkroom print from Mr. Mike Kukavica will now have an appreciation for how much work goes into it.
I appreciate that, bud.
I can't say that I've ever done anything near that amount of work, because I do get to a point where I'm just like, fuck it, it's good enough. It's made by hand, damn it, it's imperfect, it's rustic.
Right. It's embracing the analog, you know, imperfections, you know, that's the imperfections is a sign of humanity, you know, so...
Certainly a sign of my humanity. That's for sure.
You're very human then, basically.
That's right, man. Very imperfect, but it's and I appreciate that, Andre. I appreciate your kind words, but I also understand where you're coming from too, and I embrace that too. I mean, there are times when things are the way they are, and there's no point, you know. So yeah, I will admit that last night I did feel a little bit dejected when I took a shower and flopped and sat there and was kind of like, man. But then, you know, I don't know what it is, but with photography, it's a lot easier to come back from getting your butt kicked than like other areas of life. Sometimes it's a lot harder to collect yourself and get moving again. But with photography, it always seems like it's something that you can do. You know, there's always positives to be had. So,
well, I
have faith in you, Kukes. I have faith.
I appreciate that, bud.
Speaking of silver linings, we are in we're mid-August right now. Gentlemen, are we wanting to do the Silver Linings Project again this year?
Well, being that Kukes and I have not even got together and sent out the ones from last year, that would be, I don't know, that's something we're going to have to really speed up the process on.
I'd say yes, and I'd say I would like to, and I'd also say I am terribly embarrassed by, yes, not having fulfilled what we have. And in fact, even Mario's standing by to help us out, and I need to check with you, Mike. Actually, it's been something on my mind. I wanted to check with you, see if we've got any other submissions besides what we had. But yeah, I'd like to.
I've got all the emails saved from the people we need to send things to. So we'll get together in the next. We'll do some texties in the next couple in the next week or so. We'll get our texties out, and then we'll. We'll send out figure out how we want to split this up or whatever, but and then we can start thinking about it's October when we normally do it, is that correct?
Is it October or September? It's October, isn't it?
I can't remember.
October.
It's October. Okay, well, it's like the BCRF month, right? It's like the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. I think that's like they make a big deal. But I mean, not that it has to be about any kind of cancer, but
right.
It's about kicking cancer's butt.
That's right. That's right. All right, Cooch, you got anything else, man?
Well, one last thing I wanted to say is, you know, I mentioned that I was watching The X-Files again, and it's such a 90s show. And I don't know. I feel like when that was on, we didn't ever have cable, and that was a network TV show anyhow. But that was pre-DVR, right?
Right.
For sure. DVRs, I don't think, existed. Well, they certainly didn't exist in my house. And so I know I saw all those episodes. I love that show, but I never really saw it from beginning to end. And so I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to start watching this when I'm, you know, developing film and washing prints and, you know, if I'm whatever. And so I've been going through it. And two things that really stand out to me is that my brother looks a lot like David Duchovny at that age. at the same age, and there are certain expressions he would make, or like, you know, when you pause it or whatever, I'm like, man, that really looks like my brother. And the second part that I really enjoy about all that, well, I guess there's two more. The one is the old camera equipment, right? I mean, like in the first episode, I think, or the first season, Mulder was carrying around a camera, and there was at least twice where, you know, the Men in Black would catch him and like open the back door of the camera and like take the cartridge out and like pull out the film strip and in the light, you know what I mean, to ruin
it. Right.
It was just so funny to see that. I mean, that's the way it was back then, but you know, and I was still kind of, I was really oblivious to photography back then. So, you know, but some of the cameras that they had and like the different kinds of stuff and the sounds, you know, because usually they had like the macro and they're doing the crime scene photography.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then the one guy I mentioned, that Barnack, like that one episode where that guy somehow wouldn't look death in the eye when it was his turn. And so he couldn't die. And his whole life, he was trying to find someone at their last moment before they died. And so he could look at death and then finally go. But he had a camera. He was like a news photographer, and he had like a Nikon. And I'm not sure which one, but he had one of those lights, was it Focomat? One of the enlargers that looks like a big egg?
Yeah, it's the Focomat.
Yeah, he had one of those, and then that part he like got shot and he's falling down on the ground and he grabs the Barnack like and he's looking through the finder. So it was just cool seeing all that old stuff. And the other part is, if you ever watch Breaking Bad, there's a bunch of connections in there, because one of the producers and writers named Vince Gilligan went on to do a lot with Breaking Bad. And so like Walter White was in that show. The guy that played Walter White's brother-in-law, Mike, he was in there a couple times as like, you know, random FBI dude.
Right, right.
And then if you ever watch Better Call Saul, Jimmy's brother, I forget his name, he has a recurring role as one of the Men in Black. In fact, at one point he like somehow switched bodies with Mulder, so their brains or their consciousness switched or whatever. It was the funniest. But it was like, yeah, there's all these connections. And like Jack Black was in an episode, and, you know, like all the people that went on to do different things. Is just kind of I don't know, it's kind of cool to go back and see them in their younger days when they were still like working for a living, you know.
I was watching some old episodes of Walking Dead yesterday, and back before Walking Dead got really bad, and some of the good episodes. And so it cracks me up so many times in Walking Dead, they take a photograph and it's always with a Polaroid. And I think it's kind of funny that strangely, when the apocalypse happens, the zombie apocalypse, somehow Polaroid's going to survive that. So I guess that's good news for them.
Hey, maybe they got a hold of Omid's stash, man. That guy has a gigundous stash of FP100C. That's not Polaroid. I'm joking, really.
Type 55, other Polaroid stuff.
Yeah, they always sell them shooting the old school Polaroids, you know, the Integral that shoots out the front, you know, and then and of course they always I think I've seen them fan the picture when it comes out. Like, you don't shoot your Polaroids, you know. I mean, for the love of God, we should know that by now. But anyway, but. All right. Well, as far as me, I have about, I have like a little over a week left with my son home from college, and we still have not went out and shot. It has been really kind of a bummer of a summer. We didn't go on vacation, and we couldn't afford it. Well, it's mostly because I'm possibly might be going out on strike with the union here in the auto industry this September. Man. So it's looking very likely to have a strike. So we didn't think going out and spending thousands of dollars on a vacation when I might be out of work here in a month or two was not really in the plans. But so no vacation. So that definitely cut down on my shooting this summer, because that's normally when I shoot a ton of films, when we go on vacation. But the real disappointment is just not, my son's been working all summer, and like like my off days, he's generally been working, and it's just been a hard to find. I'd almost have to have him ask off a day just so he could go shoot. And he's kind of been needing to save as much money as he can for college. And it just hasn't worked out. So I've got to try to find a way, like, look, we got a week left. We've got to steal a couple hours somewhere. Cause if I don't make that happen, I'm going to be really, I'm just going to have to write off the whole summer as a loss. But so that's been a bit disappointing. But and more positive news, we did go to a fish place down on the river, Kingfish, here in Louisville on the riverfront, and we went there, like, I think it was Friday night, and it was pretty nice, man. It was like a really nice view of the river. Ate some seafood, and which by the way, that seafood did not come from the Ohio River, strangely enough. But
I'd say that's a good thing, huh?
Right. Yes, definitely a good thing. And but after we ate, we went out and at the back area, and there was a really awful band playing like acoustic music. And I don't know, it sounded like the Indigo Girls or something like that. I don't know, but it was like really, really bad. And there was an elderly woman dancing. She was the only one dancing, and probably should not have been dancing. But that was. That was entertaining, I guess, but I did not photograph her, by the way, but I have the heart. But so we walked down to the riverfront there, and I had my little Kodak T500 compact point and shoot APS camera, because APS is the hottest trend in film photography, taking the world by storm. And I finished a roll in that thing. I have no idea what's on this roll of film, because it's been in that camera for probably since our last Florida trip 2 years ago. So it's probably got a whole cornucopia of my life is probably on that roll of film. And the whole time I was shooting, I was thinking I had some of that C4 black and white APS film, because I had a couple rows of it. I thought for sure that's what I'd loaded in. So the whole time I'm taking photographs, I'm thinking, oh, these are going to be black and white. These are gonna be a good look, you know. And then it rewinds, and I open up the thing, and out pops a roll of color Fuji 400 APS film. I was like, oh, well, there you go. Sometimes one thing maybe APS could have done is maybe left a little window where you can see what kind of film's inside of it, but then they don't have that on those cameras. So you kind of stuck.
Everything except for that, huh?
Yeah, I thought of everything except for that.
Advanced except for that.
Right. And then, that's been pretty much as much as I've got done lately. A couple of snapshots here and there, but that's really about it. But I've been kind of in deep. I have one old friend of mine reached out and wanting to do a recording project with me music wise. So talking about that, and he's been sending me music ideas, and we've been kind of going back and forth through the texties, the text machine on that kind of stuff. And then another one of my ex-bandmates wants to form another band with me. So actually two of them. So I have a new band coming soon. So just kind of waiting to get that off the ground. So I've been kind of caught up, not surprisingly, in trying to get ready to approach some different music projects in my future. So I'm very, very excited about it. And it seems like it's kind of like when you're single. And you're looking for the ladies, and you seem to always either be in the desert or the jungle. Like, you have no options, or you have too many options. And right now, after being in a long music desert, I think I'm finding myself in the jungle. I got things, opportunities swinging out of the vines at me here. So so it's good though. It's a good place to be. But
that's awesome. Maybe we'll finally get some music photography from you.
Yeah, that's actually, I don't want to promise anything, but the guy in my band, or the bands that we're forming, I talked to him about this, and I thought, you know, wouldn't it be interesting, obviously photography, I want to document it, but like to actually do a YouTube channel and actually film video from the very first band practice on up to when we play shows, or if we ever put out an album, like document all that stuff and put it on a YouTube channel as like, and bill it sort of like, you know, forming a new band and the history of, or like, you know, the sort of the progress of a new band as it goes through all the things it takes to write material and play a show and record an album. If I could get myself to document it, I mean, I'm starting here on the ground floor. I think it could be an interesting thing for people to watch to see exactly what it takes to start a band and how much time and effort it goes into it. So I don't know. It's just something I may be thinking about for a YouTube channel. I've been trying to think of an angle that I haven't seen before on YouTube, and I haven't really seen that. So no promises, but I think that might be an interesting thing. Maybe only musicians would be interested in it, but it's something I haven't really seen anybody try on YouTube, basically the evolution of a band right from the get-go, you know? So, I don't know.
That sounds great, Mike.
Super cool, especially with, like, some Super 8 thrown in there.
Yeah.
You have those old, like camcorder digital cameras?
Oh, I do. I have one, yeah.
There you go.
Film it on some of the old, I got like an old digital 8 tape, you know, camcorder or whatever.
Oh, man.
And so yeah, maybe even throw up the time and date stamp every once in a while just to really give it the
which, like, now people just do that in like Adobe After Effects or Final Cut Pro or Premiere or whatever the hell people use to do video editing.
Right. So yeah, so I do have some I think I'm going to document it as well with photography and try to always keep some high speed black and white film in a camera, and because our practice space is going to be pretty dark. So, but I think I can get some cool stuff. I think it might not only rejuvenate being able to play music with humans again, but even help my photography a little bit here. Give me something to shoot, some kind of a project, basically. So I think I'm going to try it. So, but got to get these guys off their butt and get down to the practice space for the first time. We've been talking about it for a week or two now. Still haven't got them down there yet, but it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. So yeah, kind of excited about it. But
you, all right. Like what kind of music it's going to be, like similar to?
Yeah. The talk is it's not going to be like my last band, which people would consider like post rock or instrumental post rock type music. It's we're going for the shoegaze sound this time, like the early 90s My Bloody Valentine, slow dive, that kind of stuff. Nice. I think we might have some lyrics on this. The bass player and the other guitar player are both talking about possibly doing some singing in this project. So, because God knows, you don't want this gravelly voice singing. So, but there you go. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. So, yeah, it's the kind of music I've always wanted to make in a band. So we'll see if it happens. Of course I say that and it'll come out sounding like, I don't know, butt rock or something if I'm not careful. So these things usually never end up sounding like how you have them in your head, but I think we're going to do it though. I think I've been practicing this type of music for a while, so I think we'll be fine. But anyway, all right, well, that's pretty much what we've been up to, and we have some listener interaction, and I will say this. My son got back from New Jersey and he finished a roll of film up there that I sent him up there with. So I do have some of his film I have to develop. So he went up to New Jersey to visit his friends and his girlfriend, his lady friend. And so there you go. So we have some listener interaction. We have some a couple call-ins and some emails to get to. I think we'll probably do the call-ins next, I guess. So we're going to take us a little break and come back with some listener call-ins. So we will be right back, folks. Folks, we're back from the break, and I think Andre might have fixed his audio a little bit, so it won't sound like he's giving us that pillow talk that he had going on in the last segment. it's kind of romantic. I will acknowledge that, freely acknowledge, they might say. But Andre, let me hear your voice again. Let's how you sounded.
test, 1, 2.
Yeah, there we go. See, yeah, no more pillow talk.
Sounds great.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got a couple of call-ins. Hear what some of the fine folks out there in the community have sent to us. We're going to start off with Ben Crone. He's going to say, he sends us a little thing about the Pentax S1, working man's camera. I've mentioned Ben on the podcast before because I believe he's the one that does the YouTube channel. Is it Construction Syndrome? I think it is. And he does an interesting thing where he like once he gets the role developed, he'll put a video up of like of his still images, and not like a lot of talking or anything, and put some, I don't know, some really, really good music behind it a lot of times. So I don't know if you, there's a guy out there that makes music for that kind of thing, and I don't know if you know him, but he's he uses my music, in case you guys aren't picking up what I'm putting down. But
oh, sorry.
Nope, that was totally going over my head. I was there's a joke in here somewhere.
Well, let's hear this really in-depth review of the Pentax S1.
All right, this is Ben Crone, and this is a 1 second camera review of a Pentax S1.
Well, there you go.
I think you just took that away from Theo Panagopoulos for the, I think it's the quickest.
Well, I think it's becoming the hottest trend in Collins. It's taking over the world by storm. I think with that, you got everything you need to know about the Pentax S1. So I guess
that combines all of the, you know, information of the shutter click sound, which can be very different from camera to camera.
Right.
With the self timer as well. I mean, get more bang for your buck.
Wait, I mean, what else do you need to know? It's got a shutter and a self timer. I mean, I think it's all we need. All right, so let's move on. Let's move on to something maybe just a little more educational. We're gonna go to Bill Smith from the Classic Camera Revival, and he's gonna talk to us about not a Nikon. So it's gonna be
really say it ain't so.
Crazy talk here. Things are, buy a lottery ticket, folks. It's things are changing around here. But, we love you, Bill. You keep sending all the Nikons you want, man. But at this point, we can't be picky because the reviews aren't exactly rolling in here. Rolling in, see where I'm saying, going with it. But all right, Bill Smith is going to talk to us about the Elektra 100. I have no idea what this camera is, but Elektra 100. Let's see what Bill has to say about that.
Hey, it's Bill Smith from the Classic Camera Revival with yet another phone-in review, and today we're going to talk film. Has color film prices got you down? Are you kind of fed up of, like, just getting sticker shock when even looking at the consumer film? I'm going to give you an alternative. It's an industrial film made by Eastman Kodak called Aero Color 4. Now, it's not sold to consumers, so we can't just buy it off the shelf branded as Kodak. It does not exist. Eastman Kodak is a business-to-business company. But you get companies like Flickfilm out of Longview, Alberta. They have spooled down Aero Color 4, and they call their version Elektra 100. Now, Aero Color 4 is a 100-speed ISO color film that can be processed in C41 chemistry. It has got latitude out the wazoo. I've shot a couple of rolls of this. Once when I first got it late last year in November, and more recently this past spring. Now, late last November, and again, it really all depends where you are in the world and time of year. And being in the Great Lakes region, we don't get a lot of light, and light's disappearing because it's like we're going into winter. The red spectrum gets a lot more prominent, whereas other times of the year, like say spring, summer, fall, it's more a case of it's straight ahead. So these are my results from box speed. It's not the end of the universe if there's a slight weird shift because you're shooting it late in the year and it's more red sensitive light in the spectrum out there. You can fix that in Lightroom. Anyway, getting back to the film, it is a polyester based. It dries flat as a pancake. And oh boy, it's fun to scan. I enjoy scanning it. And this, the resolving power of this film is something else. It is also available as Santacolor 100. And there's a company out of Montreal called Popfo, I think. And our good friends at Cat Labs out of Boston, they're doing it in 120. So yeah, now in the case of Flickfilm, And again, pop-up photo is the same. You're looking at about $14 and change Canadian, which, considering a roll of Ektar 100 is past $20 Canadian, that's a bargain. There is one little problem, though, with this film. You got to load it in subdued light because it's, well, a polyester base, and you'll get light piping the first two frames. But that said, the color rendition is something. It's classic Kodak that we all know and remember. And I have shot portraits of my girlfriend, and, you know, her skin tones look amazing on it. And it's something to consider when, you know, Fuji is just getting their manufacturing process back up and running. And, well, Kodak Alaris is, well, Kodak Alaris. There are options out there, and Ektar 100 and or Kodak AeroColor 4 is one of them. Anyway, it's Bill Smith from the Classic Camera Revival. Stay cool, shoot tons of film, and catch you next time.
Okay, I'm a real maroon. I thought that was a camera review. No wonder I've never heard of that camera, because it was a film. So, you know, I remembered listening to this, and I guess I, because I always proof, I do tons of pre-production on this podcast, and I always listen to these when I get them, and make sure the audio is good, and if I need to do any editing or whatever, and I must have just forgotten to write down that was a film review, not a camera review, but So there you go. Oh, pre-production, you know, just things get lost in the mix sometimes, but well, thank you, Bill, for that. I have some, I'm getting all these films mixed up, because I have some of that, what is it called, like Luminaire film or whatever that Ken Burcham sent me, and I'm not sure even, I know that's some sort of Kodak film. Is that another version of what Bill's talking about? I'm not sure, but I'm getting all,
I don't know.
Yeah, but yeah, so there's another option out there. Either of you guys heard of this one?
I've heard of it. I don't have any experience with it myself, but it's kind of been in the back of my head to try it at some point.
Is it, and this is like, he didn't mention, there's no rim jet on this, right? This isn't a motion picture thing, right? This is
just no rim jet on it.
What's that?
No rim jet on it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. There's some color Kodak film out there under other brand names that you could give a shot for a little, save a little money. Mike, you got any thoughts?
Well, I know, I mean, I remember when that Santa Color came out, like I got on their mailing list way back when, because they had, I think the first time I'd ever heard of that Santa Ray 1000 or something like that was Roger Lowe, you know, the Shoot Film Like a Boss YouTube channel guy. Uh-huh. And he had some of that. And then I almost bought some and I didn't. And I've been trying to limit myself and stick to just a few film stocks and really get my process down. So I kind of resisted, but and I almost got some of that Santa 1000 or the Santa Color, but I didn't. But I did see a couple reviews of it, and apparently that's why they called it Santa Color, is it is a little more red sensitive.
Oh, okay.
Like you would expect from, you know, Father Christmas, right? So
right.
So, but no, that sounds cool. And if it really is cheaper, then that's great. I mean, I don't know what the conversion from U.S. dollars to Canadian is, but $20 on any dollars for a roll of film sounds like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a lot.
He was saying 14 Canadian for this film, so I would guess what U.S. would be 10, 12, somewhere in that range, maybe.
You know, when I was a kid growing up in Michigan, it seemed like it was always around 80 cents Canadian or 80 okay. cents US to the Canadian dollar. Mm-hmm. But like it's changed in the past, and I'm not really on top of it, but it's probably somewhere in that range. So maybe it's more like our price for Ektar is $15 or something like that, maybe. So it's probably somewhere in that same range.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, there's another option out there for you folks. Some cool stuff. Thank you, Bill, for it's been a bit since we got one from Bill. I actually have another one from Bill in the queue, which we'll play on the next time we have one of these listener interaction episodes. But let's get to our last call in. And it is none other than Mr. Theo Panagopoulos. So just buckle your seatbelts, folks. Settle in for a long ride. Because this one's going to go really in depth, and we're all going to learn something here with this. So let's hear what Mr. Theo Panagopoulos has to say about the Mamiya 7. Mamma Mia!
Hello everyone in the negative positives world. This is Theo Panagopoulos from the Camerosity podcast and Photo Thinking blog. I just wanted to send in a review of a particular camera which I hold dear to my heart. It is the Mamiya 7. But I have to warn you, this one might be a little bit long and Mike, you might need to split this over a couple of episodes. So without any further ado, here's the review of the Mamiya 7. Mamiya 7. It is fire. Thank you for listening to my review of the Mamiya 7. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it's also giving you a lot of information to decide if you want to drop $5,000 or $6,000 on this camera. Like always, I hope to talk to you soon. And see you around in either the Camerosity space or the Photo Thinking space. Thank you. Bye for now.
Well, thank you, Theo Panagopoulos. I mean that review. I mean that review really drips, and I would say that it was quite extra. And yeah, I just I think that there's a what's some of the other things the kids are saying these days?
Oh, what was that word? I interrogated my niece and her friends about this, and I didn't get a whole lot. But then there was a guy in one of my classes that had a couple of teenage daughters, and he helped me out. But what was it? It wasn't drips. It was extra. If your extra is high, it's a good thing, right?
Right. Well, right. I don't know. Like my son's always when I'm like being a little over the top, they always tell me I'm being extra, but I consider that a good thing, but I'm not sure.
Maybe there was something that was more like your, your, if a person could have a zeitgeist, which I know that doesn't make sense, but you know what I mean? Like, do you know what I mean? Like the words are not coming to me. People, don't turn 51. Just don't do it. Because then you got the words. It's in the filing cabinet, but you can't remember which cabinet it is. Damn it.
Well, we'll never think of it because this is a, I think we can just pretty much decided that review drips. And so I think we're good. But,
I'm the closest in age to this generation that we're making fun of, but I don't even know what words the kids use these days.
Oh my gosh, it's what was that that he said? It was it'll come to me like when I'm laying in bed trying to go to sleep later on and can't. Then I'll be like,
I'm gonna try to bring back Gnarly. I feel like Gnarly needs Gnarly. To come back. So.
Yeah. That's Gnarly is, it's a good, it's a very descriptive.
All right. Well, that's our call-ins for this listener interaction show. We have some emails. I guess we'll do that in the next segment. So we'll take us another little break and come back and end the show on some listener emails. And we got some good ones. So we'll take one more break here and come back for a final segment. So we'll be right back, folks. All right, folks, we're back for the final segment, and we have some listener emails to get to. So I've got quite a few here, a handful here. So we'll have Kooks start off with an email here from Larry Effler that's right up my alley. So Kooks, why don't you read what Larry Effler sent us?
All righty. Well, the email is titled Fiero Karma. I like where this is going already. So Larry says, I was driving down the mean streets of Maryville, Tennessee, listening to episode 412. At the exact moment you mentioned your model Fiero, a real live fairly pristine Fiero drove out of a Hardee's parking lot right nice. In front of me.
It doesn't get more 80s than a Fiero and a Hardee's. I think
no way. No way. And then he says the ODE guy driving and his lady were out enjoying the Tennessee sunshine. I take this as a karmic message from the universe to keep your model. And I agree with him, Mike. You should definitely keep that Fiero model. Don't let that go, man.
There's no way I could let that go. Yeah, I'm sure if he had his lady in that Fiero, that they've had some fun in that Fiero like I used to. So
I still don't know technically how that works, man. I'm not asking you to explain, but just the two seats, man, and you got a stick shift in the middle.
Fiero has quite a large console in the center.
We'll just let it go. Yep. This does involve your wife, and I want to stay as far away from that as possible. So,
well, thank you, Larry, for that. Yes, the Fiero model is going nowhere. So, there you go. All right, man. So let's move on to a email from Aaron Alfano. And Andre, could you read this one? I think this one might be a little dated for us. I think this is how long it's been since we had a show, but we'll address it anyway. No email goes unread. No soldier gets left behind. So yeah.
I'll let you know why I know that this is dated, because I actually met Aaron.
Oh, man.
Here we go. Hello, gentlemen. It's been a while. Hope you are all well. On the last episode of the podcast, episode 412, oh boy, this is old, Andre mentioned setting up a photo walk in Tampa. I live in Sarasota and would be happy to drive up for a photo walk. Please let me know the details. Thanks and keep up with the work on the show, Aaron Alfano. So, turns out that the photo walk in Tampa that I was referring to was the Cinestill.
Hey, Andre, your fan's blowing into your mic.
All right. the photo walk in Tampa that I was referring to back on that episode 412 or whatever was the Cinestill World Tour thingy-majig that we've been doing, you know, for most of this summer. We had one here in LA. There's been one in London and Berlin, blah, blah, blah. Basically, any time that we had a Cinestill employee traveling during the summer, we'd be like, hey, thank you for volunteering to host a photo walk. The one in Tampa ended up being at Coastal Film Lab. I believe I've already talked about that on the podcast, but I actually met Aaron there, just talking to a bunch of people there. We started kind of chatting and stuff, and he mentioned that he listens to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he's a lawyer, he's an attorney there. And I hope that next time that I'm out there in Sarasota, which probably should be towards the end of this year, we can meet up and go shoot some cool film photos again. But yeah, very cool to have met Aaron, and it was cool that he was a fan of the podcast. So,
oh, that's awesome. Well, I'm glad it worked out, even though we were extremely late at addressing this email.
Absolutely. Well, another thing that I mentioned to him, was that, you know, whenever I go and visit my parents, like, they're the only people that I know there, and they haven't been in Sarasota for that long either. So it'll be nice to kind of have a friend there that I can be like, hey, want to go do that nerdy thing that we like to do? Now, granted, I'm pretty sure that he has like a family and kids and stuff, but we can make some time.
Well, I mean, so what it sounds like to me is, should Kooks be worried? Is there another budding romance? Oh, like,
well, I see that coming from a mile away.
Kooks should always be worried, man. I'm wild.
You're a hot. Well, you're a hot commodity. You're one hot tamale. So, All right. Well, thank you, Aaron. I'm glad that worked out. I'd have been a real bummer to read this email now and find out that we were late, and you didn't get to meet the wonderful goodness of Andre. So, there you go.
He must be good and follow the Cinestill social media, or maybe, you know, follow the Coastal Film Lab Instagram. He found out about it. He drove out there, met him. We took some cool film photos, chatted a bunch. And hopefully I can meet up with him the next time I'm in Florida.
Awesome. Awesome. Very cool. I'm glad that worked out. All right. So, Mike, let's, or I should say Kooks, How about you read one from a previous call-in from Mr. Theo Panagopoulos? This email will probably take a little longer to address than his call-in, but
I'm looking at this thing saying, wait a minute, is this actually from Theo Panagopoulos? It's more than like three words. It's like a lot of words.
It could be like Robot Theo posing as Theo sending this email, and it's very possible. So, how about we address this, Theo Panagopoulos?
Well, here's a little teaser. I think it's dripping with sarcasm, but let's see what it says. All right. So Theo Panagopoulos says, "Hey Mike, I hope you're doing well. I was recently listening to the episode where you mentioned you are decluttering, but also you have cameras you plan to shoot, but keep falling into your comfort zone. Can I suggest the following? Commit to sending some call-in reviews of those cameras you would like to use, which are sitting there. I heard there's this podcast run out of Kentucky that accepts these call-in interview reviews and can be in depth and long or short and to the point." I wonder where he got that short and to the point part from. Sorry, that's me, not him. All right. "This way you have committed to using those cameras and lenses you plan to, but never reach for. And if you like to keep using them, you keep them in rotation. And if you do not, then you sell them off, donate, or return them as appropriate. By doing it this way, with a commitment to produce call-in reviews, you have to use them and get out of your comfort zone. Make sure you use lots of words like fire, drip, bussin', extra, bougie, etc. And remember to listen to Camerosity and read The Photo Thinking. They are both really the bomb and legit. And in parentheses, needed to bring back some slang of our time, Theo."
Nice. Well, thank you, Theo. That email does drip, and I do need to find out what this bussin thing is. So that sounds like a word I need to know about.
That is, I didn't see
it. I've heard of that one.
Oh yeah, how's it used? How would you use bussin?
Like, this is really good. It's like, I don't know. You know, pulling out of the Hardee's
and a Fiero,
you know, drinking a milkshake or something, and you're like, "Oh wow, this milkshake is bussin'." It's really good.
Well, that's a very bussin' email, then, I have to say. So, thank you, Theo, for that. He has good points here. I mean, that's a good idea. There's some of these cameras that I was talking about during that decluttering rant that I went on was. A lot of them I haven't shot, and I certainly wouldn't get rid of them until I've at least shot them once. I mean, it would be stupid to not give them a chance before, because you never know. I might find something I absolutely love that, like, you know, I got a couple of rangefinders I've never shot, and because I've never really been much of a rangefinder guy, but maybe, you know, after shooting them, maybe I'll see some value in keeping at least one of them or whatever. So, that's definitely the thought process I need to have is like, hey, don't get rid of them until you've shot them, you know, like, I'll never have this educational experience again. Right. So,
hey man, smoke them if you got them.
Right. Right.
Shoot them if you got them.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right.
Can I ask a question before we move on from his email?
Yeah.
The word bougie, does that have a positive or a negative connotation, or is it neutral? What do you guys think?
However you use it, like if somebody is like a Leica hater, they could say that's too bougie for them, you know. And but if somebody loves Leica, they can be like, man, I don't know. I think it probably is mostly negative, because even if you're really a Leica fan, you might be. I know, it's a little bougie, but you know. But I don't know, Andre. What's your thought on that?
I would definitely agree with Mike's. Assessment of that.
Yeah, I think it'd be hard to use it positive, because most people I don't know, unless maybe it's like two rich guys talking and they're like, hey man, I went to this new restaurant that opened up over there on the riverfront, and the other guy says, hey, I mean, is it bougie enough, you know, because they want, you know, they only want the booze.
Yeah,
maybe is that a word? Maybe I just started a new one.
Oh, I've got a good one. Mike, how's that restaurant, that new restaurant down at the riverfront? I was thinking of taking, you know, the wife for the anniversary. I don't know if it's, you know, bougie enough for a special day like that. You know, I went there last weekend, and it's a little ratchet.
Ratchet. I like it. That is that one of the ones I need to use with my kid, ratchet?
Ratchet's kind of, well, I mean, that's more from my time.
Okay, well, it's still
the opposite of bougie. It's like, ah, it's a little low class, a little, you know, a little rough around the edges.
I like it, Ratchet. That's kind of that.
I wonder if kids even know that. I don't think that's really survived very well.
Well, I'll try it on my sons. We'll find out. I'll give you a report. But yeah. So,
well, the reason I asked was someone mentioned that something my daughter did was bougie, and boy, that has become a 4-letter word. I know it's more than 4 letters, but like around here, it is like the worst of the worst. So, and I just wanted to do a little, as Andre would say, a little logic check to see if that's actually legit or if they were just taking that a little bit hard. But it sounds like they weren't.
Right. I'm like in the not too distant future, I'm going to be living in small town North Carolina, and about once a month or something, driving to downtown Raleigh or downtown Durham to go, you know, go to my like watch meetup stuff. I'm going to be called bougie by quite a lot of people.
Oh, that's for sure. That's for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess let's continue on with this Ratchet podcast. And
we have dive bars are the best, man. Dive bars are the best.
That's right. That's right. We are definitely the dive bar of the film photography podcast world. All right. So we have an email here. Now this gentleman, I didn't really ask him whether he wanted me to read this or not, but it is an instance where, you know, we've always said we'll read any email that we get, right? And even ask people to send us, criticism on like the new format, or, you know, if you don't like what we're doing, or, you know, a constructive criticism can go a long way, give us an idea of what the listeners are actually thinking. And obviously this podcast has changed quite a bit since episode 400. So I finally did get an email where someone had some thoughts on it. Not like hugely negative or anything, but I didn't really ask this gentleman if he wanted me to read his name. So I'll just say his name. I won't say his name. I'll make up a name, Wesley Beeswax. And so let's find out what Wesley Beeswax has to say about the new format. And the first part is the first part he sent me, and then I actually responded with some thoughts on it, and then he sent another response. But go ahead and read his first response first there, Andre.
First one just says, I have to say the new format would be okay occasionally, but I miss the back and forth banter between hosts and guests. Just my humble opinion.
Awesome. So I responded and I was like, yeah, you know, this, some changes needed to occur that, you know, from time constraints from all of us, and a lot on my side from the editing standpoint, that I was getting really burnt out on it. So I needed to make a change to keep me energized to do this podcast. So we definitely made some pretty big changes and have had a lot of solo shows and stuff. And so it has been less of this host banter between the three of us like we're having now. And I realize people like that. And I'll be honest with you, the numbers suggest, I do look at numbers occasionally, and I don't really care whether we get plenty of numbers, more than I thought would ever listen to this podcast, but it has went down considerably since the episode 400. The ones that tend to do better are the ones where all of us are on. But it has been a pretty substantial drop in listener numbers. And I'll fully admit that. And still the numbers that it's at is enough to make me proud of this, what we've done with this, and keep doing it. But it's we've lost like half of our listener base, if I'm going to be totally honest. And I feel like you guys should know that, but we are literally 50% of the listeners we had before episode 400. Right. So that's a pretty substantial drop. So, but I have noticed that the episodes where the gang is on does tend to get more listeners, and more like the listeners we used to get. So as far as listener numbers. So, anybody else out there has thoughts or comments on the situation, by all means, we're not offended. We take these things as constructive criticism. And I'd like to know what listeners are wanting to hear. And we will, try to do our best to make this something that people want to listen to. I mean, we don't want to just run everybody off, but, and I think I mentioned in my response to him that, that maybe something that we may have to do to maybe have podcast episodes less often if we wanted to stay with the way we used to do things. But there's just different ideas. So anyhow, he responded again to me after I sent him my response. And Andre, can you read that?
Yep. It said, Wesley Beeswax said, problem. I totally understand. I think once a month is a good cadence. I understand feeling burnt out. It shouldn't have to be so much work. Maybe have single topic episodes that are shorter might be a consideration. I do like the takeover episodes. The old camera guy is a hoot.
Well, yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Well, thank you so much, Wesley Beeswax. And you know, if you respond again and want me to read your name, I'll be glad to do it. But I didn't want to call you out and like be like make people think that you're being negative, because I take it. I'm glad that somebody finally emailed some thoughts, you know, not just being nice to us, you know, and that's not being, he wasn't being mean, you know, it was just, it's good to hear these things, but, I've said my piece. Andre and Mike, you guys, what's your thoughts on this?
I think that the like shooting for once a month, I think would work really well. For a long, long time, we were doing every other week. And we, like, where we're at right now, it's kind of, I mean, there is no schedule. We literally talked, you know, a few days ago, like, hey, do you guys want to record? And we were all like, yeah, we miss it. Let's do it. Are we available on Monday? Yes, no? Awesome. Cool. Let's go for it. I think something like that works really well for where we're all at right now. We do it when we want to, and when we have call-ins, you know, we'll do those. And the takeovers, I agree, are fun. We do have to get the, you know, a proper reunion with all five of us.
Oh yeah.
Sometime in the not too distant future. But yeah, overall, you know, I appreciate the constructive criticism. I think, you know, once a month, whether it's with all of us or having some of the takeovers kind of supplement that, I think is going to work pretty well for me.
And that's kind of the way I've been doing it too. It's like, you know, I know for a while we've actually had an episode about every week, and that isn't our normal schedule. Our normal schedule is going to be like, if we had no listener takeovers, we would only be every 2 weeks or maybe once a month. But the listener takeovers, when they come in, or like when Kook sends a solo show or whatever, or Andre sends a solo show, I'm going to supplement in between. As soon as I get those, I'm going to put them out. If we're a couple weeks away from us all getting together and doing an episode, I'm going to put out whatever I have that's just sitting on my hard drive. I might as well, you know, put it out as a placeholder until we can get all back together again. So the reason we've had been kind of on a weekly schedule is I've had things to play, so I've been playing them. So, but right. If we don't have anything to play, well, it might be a while before you hear from us. So if you're missing us,
right,
or you're missing an episode, hey, how about sending an episode into us, and I will put it out as soon as we have an open Monday. If I have something, I'll put it out. So but thanks to people like, you know, Dave Mahaly, that has been pretty regular on sending in things. Kooks has done a good job at some interviews, and I had Joe Pollock that sent a solo show takeover in, and that stuff's been fun. I wish more people would do it, but it hasn't really those really been most of what we've gotten so far. So but it's wide open. This folks, you can take over this podcast. You can have your very own episode of Negative Positives. You just record whatever you want in your film journey and send it in. And it could be 10 minutes long, 5 minutes long, 20 minutes long, half hour long, however you want to do. And I will put it out. So it's just it's an open invitation for people to get their voices out there and tell us a little bit about what you're doing or what kind of photography you're into or that kind of thing. So, but very few people have really taken us up on it. So, but there you go.
Well, heck, it could be winding your favorite camera shutter and firing it. So it could be that. And you know what? One thing I want to say is, for the half of the audience that stuck with us, thank you. Like, we really appreciate you being around. We're not really fixated on the ones who aren't. I mean, it's kind of a drag, but like, people that are still with us and still listening to us, thank you. Like,
absolutely.
It's really, really important. And you know what? I'm down with whatever. I love talking to you guys. I love the podcast. I love trying to talk about this hobby. I don't really have a whole lot of people I can talk to about it, like, in person. You know, obviously Andre and I talk when we're there in person, but I know that's eventually going to come to an end. He's going to be in North Carolina, at least the frequency. So, you know, it'll be long distance love affair, I guess. But, you know,
are you breaking up with me on air?
No, it's you've been telling everyone you're moving to North Carolina, you know, so and who knows, I may be traveling to California a little less often too. I'm not really sure. You never know with corporation stuff how things go.
In a sense, Mike, he is traveling. He will be moving to your side of the country. So I mean,
yeah, that's true.
You can see it as a sign of dedication and devotion, you know. So
But I don't want to sound negative, but I'll tell you something. That I've been wanting to go to the Jackson Fine Art Gallery in Atlanta for a long time. In fact, my buddy Charlie, he bought a Sally Mann photograph. It's her sister. It's I forget what her sister's name is, but she's standing on like a one of those rope bridges, and there's like a really nice sun flare, and it's like her name and the sun and the sunshine. I forget the name of it. He bought it from that gallery, and he's almost about to buy an Ansel Adams from there. Don't this guy's not bougie, okay? He just loves, you know, art stuff. And anyhow, I've been meaning to go to that place, and it's weird that it's easier for me to go to California than it is to go to the other side of Atlanta. You know what I mean? So like, part of me is like, I'm not trying to say that I never get to see Andre in North Carolina, but sometimes it's like, yeah, the closer some things are, sometimes it's not always easier. You know what I mean? And I don't mean that negatively. And I'm not trying to say I wouldn't come and see you, brother, or that you wouldn't come and see me, but you know what I'm trying to say? Like, you never really know.
Hey, man. I don't know, man. That sort of sounds like Mike's got, I don't know, Andre, he might be stepping out a little bit here. You might want to.
Spooks, you know, I'm going to be working 100% remotely, so as long as I have an internet connection and somewhere to sleep at night, if you want, I'll come to you, man.
Hey, dude, yeah, well, you can take over my bathroom darkroom, man. There's a bed in there. I'll clean off the test strips.
You got a place to sleep. Were you going to clean out the test strips for me so we have some place to sleep?
When you know, Gutterman invited me over to spend spring break with him back in like 2017, 2018, whenever that was. Run it by the wife first.
Well, naturally, absolutely. Next April will be 30 years, so yes, I've been trained in some ways. Happy wife, awesome. Happy life, right? So they say.
That's right.
No, it's true. It's absolutely
true. That actually brings up something I wanted to mention. Well, a little shout out to Billy Sanford, Music and Photography Podcast. Had Mr. Andre Dominguez on recently, and nice. And that was a great episode.
Talk about that. That is one of the downsides of us recording less frequently, is that, you know, I forget when stuff happened and if I've talked about it or not. But that was a really fun conversation. I originally, when Billy first reached out, was like, oh man, like, I don't know what I'm gonna say. I'm not a musician. Like, people don't know me for my relationship to music. But I sat down and I thought and came up with a bunch of different kind of avenues that the discussion could go down. And at least from what I've heard from Gutterman, like, it seems like it went pretty well.
It did. And I gotta say, I thanked Andre personally about it, but he said some really nice things about me, and even mentioned my wife as far as getting permission to stay at our house for that weekend that he came down. But it was very nice, and brought a little emotional tear to my eye, some of the nice things that Andre said. So yeah, it was sweet. But it's definitely worth checking out. If you haven't checked out Billy Sanford's Music and Photography Podcast, and particularly the episode with Andre, definitely give it a listen. So all right, well, let's get to
In little kind of fits and spurts, I have been getting more and more into music. Now, I may have given away or sold every guitar that I've ever owned, which has been four at this point.
Two. Four?
I think I've owned four guitars.
Wow.
Last one I gave to a girlfriend like a month before I broke up with her.
Oh, no.
I did, over one of these breaks, on a pee break, go and order a pair of nice headphones per Mike's recommendation. So,
what'd you get?
It was the Grado something or other.
Nice. Grados are awesome. You're going to love those, man. Nice.
I'm going to look for. Actually, I sent you a really cool post-rock song with some female vocals the other day.
Okay. I think I might have listened to it. Yeah, I think I did listen to it. Yeah, I listened to it on the way home from work. Yeah, it was good. Yeah,
getting back into my music jams.
I like it. Nice. I like it. Well, those Grado headphones, you're gonna love those. I highly recommend the Grado headphones, made in New York, by the way. So,
open all right. Assless chaps.
Well, what's that?
Music world.
Nice. All right. Well, we got one more email, and this comes from George Griffin. Now, George used to do the Flaneur on the Streets podcast, and I wish he'd bring it back. I always loved his podcast, and I think maybe he just ran out of time to do it or whatever. But George, if you listen to this, and I hope you hear this, I'd like to see your podcast come back. Man, we've lost a lot of good podcasts in the last couple of years, and yours is one of them, and bring it back. So that's just my pep talk to George. But I'm going to let, speaking of criticism, I'm going to let Kooks read this one, because he's getting called out here a little bit. George, give him a little time here. So, all right, Kooks, what's George Griffin have to say to you, man?
I can take it. But before I read this, where's he from? Is he like English or Australian?
Yeah. England. Yep.
Okay.
The
okay.
UK. Yeah.
All right. Well, cause look, one of the major parts of English industry is Formula One. I mean, all the teams are based there. They kind of own that competence. You know, there's been other teams that have tried to show up in other places and they never really get very far. So, I mean, even, So most of the team, that's one of the major parts of British industry. So obviously this guy, I must have poked him in a sensitive spot without meaning to. So, but anyhow, let's see what he has to say. So George Griffin says, "Hi crew." He says, "First off, I'd like to say I really enjoyed the episode. Great to hear some F1 chat on the show. I do have called Kooks out on his comment about Roman Grosjean though. Grosjean had 8 podiums in his F1 career and 2 second places and 6 third places. This guy must be a fan. He's got some detailed info on this guy." So sorry, that was me, not the email. So going back to the email, he says he was also a champion in most of the junior categories he races in, and was and still is the only driver to win both the Asia GP2 and GP2 series in the same year. So for us Americans, these are like feeder series, like AAA baseball or AA baseball, mm-hmm. where you would work your way up. So coming back to his email, the Bahrain crash was under exceptional circumstances with him and Danny Kvyat's cars. And by the way, Kvyat's a communist connected to Putin. Oh. So I'm sure someone can write me in and say something about that, but I'm not wrong. That the commie bastard's cars touched. And then, sorry, but did I say that? You're not going to edit that. So let me start over again. The Bahrain crash was under exceptional circumstances with him and Kvyat's cars touching. The angle with which Grosjean's car hit the Armco was unusual at 29 degrees, and the failure of the middle barrier allowed the car to pass through the upper and lower barriers. The force of the impact was measured at 67 G. So G is considered to be the weight of gravity. Mm-hmm. So in other words, what his car, his head, his body was 67 times its normal weight, the impact force. So that was a lot.
Yeah.
So back to the email. So I think it's a bit unfair to call him a bad driver and say that he drove through the Armco. Good news. I'm enjoying the new format. Keep up the good work. Cheers, George. And then with like the smiling through the teeth emoji. I'm not sure if that's the right one, but anyhow, so a little backstory. If you didn't listen to that episode,
Jess Cosmack, right?
Yep. Jess Cosmack and I, we talked, and she had gone to the Monaco Grand Prix, and turns out she's a longtime Formula One fan. So is her husband. And by the way, her husband, at least in the pictures that she's ever posted of him, looks a lot like Roman Grosjean to me too. So I'm not trying to connect to negativity or anything like that. It just was a likeness. But the race we were talking about, I think I said that Grosjean crashes a lot. And I said, and I think I punctuated it by saying he even drove through the Armco barrier, right? And the Armco, you know, sometimes they'll call it K-rail, but on the side of the freeway, they have that like metal bar that's kind of squiggly. Like if you were to cut it in half and look through a side section, it maybe look like a K or like uh-huh. an S or something. Uh-huh. And there'd be like 2 or 3 sections. Yeah, that guy actually drove through that. He didn't drive through it. He got in an accident with such force that he went through it. So, George, you make some good points, and I will fully admit my bias against French drivers, starting with Alain Prost. Hate that guy. His nose is still turning right. The guy must have a broken nose and never got it fixed. But if you look at a picture of Alain Prost, his nose is making a right turn in perpetuity. So yeah, that guy sucks. And Gross John is okay. I mean, like, it was a good story. I mean, you don't very often see flames in Formula One. It's been a long time. They don't refuel the cars anymore. So like, if you actually see fire, it's rare. But that car going through the Aramco got broken in half and there was fire. And this guy in Gross John did manage to get himself out. He burned his hands, but it was kind of a miracle that he got out and was unhurt. So there was some times with his family. He's got a super sweet family, wife and a couple kids and stuff like that. So I don't hold any malice toward the guy personally. And I know that he's a way better driver than I could ever imagine I would be. But you're just going to have to put me down that I'm not a fan. Sorry.
Well, so. It's good that speaking of losing listener numbers, somewhere through Mike's Kook's diatribe there, we managed to lose all, any communist listeners or French listeners that we have. So,
I lived in communist Venezuela for 1 year. Fuck communism.
Well, the thing about that guy, though, I say he's connected to Putin, was he had sponsorship from the national oil company, which is controlled by the government over there.
Right.
So there, no one said, he didn't have a sticker on his helmet that said, Putin's my pal, but it's probably not wrong that that's probably what happened. So, anywho. But George, thank you.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, George, thank you for that. And I would I'd love to chat Formula One with you anytime you want. So, yeah, maybe we could talk on our own sometime. Or if you want to do a segment, we could do Formula One Part 2 with George Griffin. We could debate the merits of French Formula One drivers and you know, others. I certainly can't exactly put up Michael Andretti as a good example. Mario Andretti, if you want to go way back when, okay, he was pretty good. Michael, not really. And since then, what, Scott Speed? Nah, we don't have a whole lot that way, okay? So I'll get my ass handed to me in that conversation, and that's okay. So I'll stop.
I guess that concludes this edition of the music and Formula One racing and sound photography talk podcast.
I've got a really quick nuanced opinion to provide on this subject.
Well, you know what?
That sounds like a Theo Panagopoulos camera review of Formula One racing. So.
Well, Mike, yeah, I mean, dude, your money is going to be going toward there in a couple years. So, you know, you might want to educate yourself. I mean, yeah. Ford's tying up with Red Bull, the freaking evil empire, at least of Red Bull. I can't stand Karen Horner and Max 70s porn mustache Verstappen. I mean, these people are just so terrible. Anyway, whatever. But yes,
of course, Ford would team up with somebody with a 70s mustache. It seems like par for the course, I guess. But I don't know. But you should see some of the people I work with. But
Man, well. The thing is, the brief about Formula One used to be go as fast as you can for 2 hours and not 1 second longer. That's what it used to be. But then the car manufacturers get involved and they spend money like a drunken sailor, and then they turn around and complain that it costs too much. And then they try to they're trying to turn it into NASCAR. And so I don't want to be the old guy in the room griping about this stuff, but it's like. You know, it's supposed to be hard. It is supposed to be hard. In the day, you got 6 points for a win, and it went down to 1 point for a sixth. And now it's like from first to 10th, and they have all these inflated points and all this other BS. It's like supposed to win. And if you don't win, second is the first loser. End of story. No one said life is fair. Nobody said life is fair.
I have to tell people at work all the time. They're like, hey, why did Day Shift only build 550 trucks and we got to build 700? And I always say, it says Ford on the sign outside. It does not say fair.
kidding. Isn't that the reality? Wait, that's a sign that you're going to piss on when you retire.
It is.
Right?
It is. It absolutely is. Yeah. So I think they got it fenced in now. I may have to climb a fence through it, but you know,
it's not electrically fenced, is it?
I hope not. But hopefully, I got 6 years left, a little less than 6 years left. Hopefully, I'll still be able to climb fences at that point, the way they're breaking me down. But anyway, so all right. Well, that's our listener interaction. Thank you, everybody, for the call-ins and the emails. It's nice to hear from people. It's been about a while since we've done one of these. And you know, trust me, if you want to hear all three of us, if you love the banter, it really helps when we get a little bit of listener interaction we can talk about. So just throwing that out there. But I guess we'll go ahead and start wrapping the show up. Excuse me, got a little beer burp trying to come out there, but we don't have to say our socials because our socials will be at the end in the closing music, so we can just get the hell on out of here. Andre Kooks, always a pleasure. Good talking to you guys again, man. It's been fun, I think we got a lot of good listener interaction. I really enjoyed doing this. It was fun.
Absolutely, man.
Hey, I miss talking to you guys very much. So this is definitely chicken soup for my soul. Thank you.
Another nice reference the youngsters would not understand.
No, they would not. They would not.
But I've been talking about Darkroom all the time anyway, too. So, you know, you just have to, you know, embrace who you are, I guess. So there I am.
All right, let's go ahead and end this ratchet podcast so somebody can go listen to another podcast in their feed that drips. So, we'll go ahead and get out of here. Folks, we'll be back soon. I actually have some plans for to have some guests again. I want to bring back a couple of heavy hitter guests, I think, that I need to reach out to, but I think it could be nice. Fun. But the guest episodes are not over with. We are going to approach them differently, but I have some that I've been thinking about reaching out to and getting them back on, do a little catch up with. So you'll know that when it happens. But until then, you guys can also send in your call ins, emails. Your own very episode of Negative Positives, send those on, those files or emails or whatever to negpositives@gmail.com, which you'll hear again in the closing music here. But we're going to get out of here. So I guess until we talk to you next, everyone have a great couple of weeks, months, whenever it is we're back. Mm-hmm. And everybody stay positive.
Shoot some cute, cool
film photos.
Perfect. All right, folks. Take care. We'll talk to you soon. Hey, folks, before we get out of here, I'm a real maroon, and I forgot to mention a couple of coffee donations that we've gotten recently, and I wanted to give these people props for supporting the podcast. First up is from Ian Turpin, and of course, he's doing the Ordinary Photographer podcast. If you haven't checked that out, by all means, check out Ian's podcast, The Ordinary Photographer. He actually recently had his first interview on the show, so definitely a great film photography podcast to check out. Ian sends a message on the coffee donation page. Am enjoying the show still. Forgot all about this. Have a beer on me. Well, thank you, Ian. And I will have a beer. And I'm actually having one right now. So thank you so much, sir. And the next coffee donation comes from Mr. Alessandro Canacchia. And Alessandro's been way too generous to me throughout the years. Of course, I met him couple months ago when he came down to visit Louisville, Kentucky, and got to hang out with him a little bit. Love that dude, man. So he sends a little message with his donation. Says, it's hot out, so you'll need some more Miller Lite to stay cool and comfortable while recording. Well, that's what I'm actually having right now while I'm recording. So thank you, Alessandro, so much. But I wanted to make sure I gave props to these people that were have offered support to the program through the coffee donations. So thank you guys so much. So that is it. I'll wrap up the show now. Thanks for the donations, Alessandro and Ian Turpin. Hey, everybody stay positive and shoot some cool film photos.
This is Mike Kukovica, otherwise known as Kooks, and you can find me on Instagram at The Drunk Darkroom.
This is Andre Dominguez. You can find me on Instagram at Andre on Film.
And I'm Mike Gutterman. You can see my photography on Instagram at GuttermanPhoto. You can email this program at negpositives@gmail.com. You can join our Facebook group, the Negative Positives Film Photo Podcast Facebook group. We also have an Instagram account under the account name Negative Positives. If you submit photos to Instagram, think about using the hashtag Negative Positives.
You can support this program on Ko-fi. That is ko-fi.com/negativepositives. And you can get my music on Bandcamp at mikegutterman.bandcamp.com. A Gutter Man Cave production!